it's only, I guess the best time for it is the Chavur before Purim. One thing after another came up when I came home to prepare for Chavur. I left Second Seder early to prepare. I started preparing at 9:45, which usually doesn't happen to me. And my wife keeps asking me why, if I'm saying, because of the third year, the third or fourth year, that I'm saying Chavur is why I just can't say over an old Chavurah. But I have a big problem saying over things that I'm not, like, holding in the middle of. You know, those who try to talk to me about old Chavurahs know how difficult it is for me sometimes to get back into an old Chavurah. It's a levet de gazach when you say it.
Should we get another couple of hours?
So, that would be a good idea. I don't think I can stay up there. The emphasis is that in Chaim Berlin, they used to, they say over that Der Huttner once said a mimer before Purim, and I would say he never did it again. He said Purim Torah has to be said on Purim. So why do we do things before Purim? Why do we talk about it before Purim? Purim Torah has to be said on Purim. Because unfortunately, by the time Purim comes, many times it's too late. Okay. So I tried in the few minutes that I had to take a hemshech of what we were discussing in the last two chaburas. And it goes in a lot of different directions. To a certain extent, the change that I'm going to make tonight, because I'm presenting the chabura a little bit differently than usual, is that I'm going to make a change just for tonight's chabura, and I'm going to accept questions during the chabura. Because the Purim is such a complex yantif, and there's so many different things that I won't mind that much if we get a little bit off course. But that's al tanai, that when it reaches a certain hour of the night, we stop.
You want to name the hour?
No. You want to name the hour?
Name that hour.
What about jokes?
No jokes.
That could be wrong.
Only in Yiddish.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, two.
2:15.
Practice questions in
Yiddish. My other option was to just play you a tape of Rav Huttner that I heard recently, and translate it as I went along. No, not Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner spoke in Yiddish. I would do that if you guys want. I could do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because the other one guy here knows Yiddish.
We could do that afterwards with that transliteration.
By the way, I just
it's shtickler. You know, you can hear. You hear his jokes, you hear.
Yeah,
you're curious about that.
Yeah, I went to Yeshiva for 10 years of my life.
I was thinking of doing that. I thought that you guys would get too annoyed to hear a phone talking and trying to hear my translation and get too old, too crazy.
Well, probably nobody would listen to him if they can't understand, they don't be listening to you.
Yeah.
Morty would have
that.
That's it.
I'll just sit in the speaker. But I'd rather hear
you. Yeah, but I have to keep stopping.
I think we should have a phone anyways.
You make copies and do it Thursday night instead.
We could do Thursday night. Maybe. All right, now she's getting itchy. What? Are you listening to her? Okay. I'm not gonna even ask you those questions. I'm gonna say what I'm gonna talk about. Okay. Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a very, very fascinating Tainus. Every year, some years I spoke about it, some years I didn't, but every year I'm nishtoimim from Tainus Esther. We haven't. Does anybody know why we fast on Tainus Esther?
Because she fasted 3 days.
Right. Why did she fast for 3 days?
Everybody did.
Why?
To find
Why? So that Achashverosh
could grant
the
request.
Right. Now, did Achashverosh grant the request?
Sort of. All she did was ask him to a party.
Yeah, and with the final result, Achashverosh.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so why are we still fasting?
As a zecher to the fact that they fast.
We don't zecher.
Let me ask you something. The marshal. It says in Mishnah Berurah the other reason. You know the other reason it says?
Maybe because. No. Yes.
The other reason it says is that Mistama, before they went to Muhammad, they fasted. So we fast Lezecher to that fast. I love that. We fast Lezecher to a fast that Mistama they fasted.
That's a good question. Where does it say this?
Mr. Bruce says.
Really?
Yeah. So, I didn't see it this year, but I don't think it disappeared. So, it's an interesting thing. It's a fascinating thing. Like, we fast, either Ezra's pshat or the pshat that I'm saying, but we're fasting because of a tzara. Like, you know, it's like, why we... What's the avodah of this fast? The tzara doesn't exist anymore. Ezra, tomorrow's time is Esther. Tomorrow's time is Esther. So, do you think that we should tomorrow by Shacharis down to Mashal that Hashverosh, that Haman shouldn't kill us? It's a zecher for that fast. You know there's no such a thing as a real zecher in Yiddishkeit. A zecher is a re-experience of it. So should we once again experience? Does it say Chayiv Adam Liris Asatzmai Ki'ilu Haman Reitzel Lahargai? Does it say that anywhere? It's a matna fast.
Wasn't the fast because...
I don't know, tonight's not the night before Zav Yudaya.
Wasn't the fast to be Mechaper on the Suda?
Yeah.
So when we're doing Mechaper, the whole year round with that. 364-day Suda.
We did... What? You mean we went to the Suda of Achashver?
No, I mean just like our personal Suda. You know, using Achashver in the wrong way or whatever.
So what does that do with Esther? No.
No.
Well, isn't the concept of a mulling something that's in our times as well, that it's something that does?
Okay, so now you're starting to head in the right direction. Okay.
That's where we stop.
This is outside of what
Josh, I spoke about this before?
Yeah, last week.
No,
or last
week.
About
2 minutes ago.
For me.
Is that it?
Thank you.
Okay, there's an interesting thing I heard on the ground on that tape from a footnote. I don't remember, in the 15 minutes I had to prepare, I don't remember, I don't mean to make light of the Chabura, by the way. It's a betzmet, you guys should be upset, but that's why I'm trying to be menatzel with the, you know, to have a different style of Chabura, not to, what? Go to the couch. Get the guitar. There's a klal that sometimes if something comes out on Shabbos or whatever it is that we can't do something on the right day, there's a klal that we're ma'achar paranos, we're makdim simcha. In other words, Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos. When do we give Tisha B'Av? Thursday or Sunday?
Thursday,
Shabbos.
No,
Matim
Simcha
on Sunday. Everyone knows Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos. We observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday. That's what we do. Is that right?
Tainus Esther.
We're Matim. So you could answer, because if we were Ma'achar, it would end up being after Purim. Maybe that's not a bad. Would that be a bad thing if it was after Purim? I guess whatever it means, it's a zecher for the Torah, which should come before the Yeshua. Right. Needs a better pshat while we're makdim it. Maybe we should push off Purim a day also. We should do Sunday Tainus Esther, Monday Purim. Why are we makdim a Tainus? Tisha B'Av, we're not makdim. We're always ma'acher Puranusa. That was a Puranus, the Esther thing. We should be ma'acher. Okay. I listened this year again to a tape that was made of a Mesiba that was enjoyed in Pachad Yitzchak 2 years ago, when I was already here, and and someone was very kind enough to send me all the tapes, and it's a tape with the music, so it's like really gets you into the Purim spirit. Chaim Berlin and Pachadis, they have certain types of marches and certain types of music that are just miyuchad lePurim, just Purim songs, and it's a very very rhythmic types of nigunim. You know, Rebbe used to even say sometimes on certain ones, like, what the message of the niggun is, you know, and, you know, what the ruach is. Sometimes people have a sense of music, it sense certain types of ideas in music. Morty, you might hear such a thing? You could sense ideas in music. There are music of stories, you know that? They have pieces of music that this is a music and it's a story. And if you know the story, you could hear the different parts of the story in the ketzev and in the style of the music. That's I was listening to this tape, and mitaych the gewaldige maimed driving in my car, but being transported back to Pachad Yitzchak, I heard a shtickle there that I want to say over part of. He says like this. He wrote in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Beginning of Parshas Vayakel, it says Vayakel Moshe, that Moshe gathered together Klal Yisrael. Moshe was Makel Klal Yisrael. To do what? To tell them about the Binyan HaMishkan. When was this? If you make a Cheshvan, Rashi says it, it's a Pashat Cheshvan. It was the day after Yom Kippur. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah above Sivan. He came down with the luchas on Nashi.
When did he come down?
He came down 40 days later on Shivasa B'Tamas. Nishtaru haluchas. Then he went up for another 80 days, 40 days of tshuva, and then 40 days of the new luchas, and 80 days after Shivasa B'Tamas is Yom Kippur. And that was the Salachti Kidvarecha. That was the final kapara. And he came down with the luchas Shneis. Right? The lashon of the Sasamis about Amalek is ki koychei shel Amalek nimtza b'chol hamadregas. Amalek is everywhere. This is why, Morty. This is why Amalek is suffic. Amalek is gematria suffic. This is what's really behind it. Is that any place that there's any possibility of having a tzad not like the Ratzon Hashem, Amalek is naked that tzad. You know the person who's always naked the other side in the conversation?
Yeah.
Right? You know that person? There's always that person. That person who always takes the other side. He's going to always... That's Amalek. Amalek always takes the other side. He always takes the side connected to Rabbeinu Shalom. Because whenever it's possible to wedge in a wedge, to be marachik us from Hashem, Amalek does that. That's the suffix. He takes advantage of any richuk, any suffix, any possibility of ra at all, and he uses it. Memeil. So now, that's the pshat. That's the lagavi suffix. Lagavi letz is the same thing. This I saw Yochanan learning the Maimer today. In fact, if you learn it carefully, you'll see that it's right. Amalek is called a letz. Amalek is called a letz. It's the same midah. Amalek is called a letz. Says letz taku pesi yarim is Amalek in Yisroi. Pesi yarim is Yisroi that he came close to Klai Yisrael. Letz tak Amalek is a letz. What does it mean a letz?
Amalek is Yitzhak.
What?
Amalek is Yitzhak. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that also. Yes.
Any question?
What? What's that? It's just the same word, but besides that, what's the...
But if you're saying that Yisrael is the better thing, it's Machkimas.
Kasi just means a fool.
Oh.
Let's taka means hit a let's, upesi yarim, and the fool becomes smarter. In other words, sometimes you have a letz, and you punish the letz. It doesn't help the letz. It just helps the people who are watching the punishment of the letz. Amalek's whole mahus is anti. Oh, that's what a letz, it says, he brings the chazalde, that a letz cannot possibly be mekabel techad. It's not possible to be mekabel techad. It's like an oil shield that all the arrows just bounce right off it. He's not capable of being mekabel techad. A letz. So everyone else around him could get the message, but he himself could be sinning, destroy everything, and it's not possible to get the Chazal. That's Amalek, because Amalek's whole existence, the whole Bria of Amalek, is for the purpose of being Oymid L'Neged Rabbani Shalom. That's what Amalek was created for, the Kayach Ra, the Nachash, whatever you want to call that manifestation of Ra. It was for the purpose of being Neged Rabbani Shalom. So it's impossible for him to be Mekabel Rabbani Shalom. Then he doesn't exist anymore. That's a Harisa Yaday Oyvid. He doesn't exist anymore. That's why Letz and Suffolk is the same. It's the same point. It doesn't mean that he's a funny guy. The point is that it's not shaykh for him to be nechna to Kedusha. It's not shaykh because then he loses his identity.
As first of all, that I always, it doesn't mean we say Malik is Suffolk, it doesn't mean that they cause Suffolk. It means that when there is a Suffolk, there is.
It's the same thing. They take advantage of any fogginess and they try to use it. V'malum mashal. The Arsha Barakadish Baruch Hu Yom Rishon Adam Tzayfa by Misayfa Olam Yat Tzayfa. Because Rabbi created an Ur, a person was able to see from one end of the world to the other with that Ur. Everything was clear. The Rabbi Shalom was running the world. It was completely clear. There's no muck of Amalek can't exist in that environment. Because there's nothing unclear. There's no muck of Suffolk to use to turn someone away from the Rabbi Shalom. Everything is clear. But as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going is that Ur, now there's Sveikus. There's not clarity. Amalek is there. There's a Kayach Ra.
When you left Mitzrayim, there was already a Makom for Suffolk? Wasn't it the cause of some type of Suffolk? Is a Makom there ready for Suffolk?
Yeah, I mean, that's with tremendous, tremendous chutzpah. But that's it was in Olam Hazeh. Was in an Olam HaTeva. It's possible for someone to say, oh, see, Amalek could start a response. They accomplished tremendous hezek with it, right? I'm about to hear what he said. Nobody would have started up with this, but Amalek didn't. Ad Hayem Hazeh, no one would have started up with this.
Right, so it sounds like there was no something at all. That's why I thought that...
No. Obviously there was you see that they caused the damage, so obviously there wasn't.
Krish's game.
So getting back to the Eitz Hadas, within the goof of a person, there was not shaykh that there should be any type of Yetzar, any type of Ra. The fact that Adam did the chait, and now he did the chait, and now it's possible that there's Ra inside the Adam, so now it's possible that the Eitz Hara could take advantage of the goof of Adam. That's an Amalek Midah. It's an Amalek Midah to take advantage of any possibility for Ra to exist and to use it. That's the whole broad Ra in the Welt is represented by Amalek.
Why is Yitzhar stronger inside the Guf than outside?
When it's inside the Guf, it doesn't need something outside to be Ma'ir it. It's Be'etzim there. But it's outside. If the Nachash would have never come on the scene, then there's nothing pulling other. This is in the process. The Yetzirah that's inside means that a person can be sitting locked in his room, and the Yetzirah is bothering him. Yeah. But if the Yetzirah is outside, then if he locks himself in his room, the Yetzirah is not bothering him. Yeah. It's a very, very, very big difference. Yeah. So this thing of Kayach HaGuf, it's true that this particular expression of Yetzirah comes out in Golas Paras. But it's a very good shidduch with Haman.
Any ra
is a good shidduch.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Do the ra out Edom also.
Yeah. Now the truth is, it's even more than that. But I'm not misunderstood right now enough.
So when the Achikneser locked up the Yitzhar, they took it out of everybody's body and put him into a form or something, and threw him in a barrel and locked it.
I don't know about the form part or that part. I don't know. But yeah, he took it out of the body. But it's only that one particular Yitzhar. Wasn't the whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
And hopefully just explain how Malik and Pras are both in the same kibbutz over here.
Over here, yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Let's wait. We'll get back. Okay. We talked last week about Nasa Vinishma. Let's talk about Nasa Vinishma a little more. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai. They said Nasa Vinishma. Rabbi Nishlam was mamish amazed. Mi gila rozeh lebanai rozeh. Who is megala this secret to my children? Roz shemalachim hashoris mishtamshim boy. A secret that the malachim use. Who revealed this secret that the malachim use to my children? As it says, Giboyrei koyach oise dvoroi l'shmoya b'kol dvoroi. Oisim v'hodar l'shmoya. First they do, then they listen. So malachim, it says they do and then they listen. So, and that's the what that was the what Klal Yisrael said, that we'll do and we'll hear. So we wanted to define exactly what was this madrega that they said we'll do and we'll hear. What is that madrega? And we explained that the point is like this. The point is that if it would have said we'll hear and we'll do, so that would have been a regular situation. I'll hear it. And then I have my whole guf to worry about. We talked about then. I have to, till it absorbs into me, till it's a reality, till I'm able to conquer my yitzhar. Eventually, through a grace of milchama, I'll do what I heard. But Klal Yisrael b'shas ma'antayr, it says that they were zaychet in the madrega of Adam Arishan Kaidu Machet. Pascha Zuh Hamas, and the Gemara says in Shabbos, Peches, they were on the madrega of Adam Arishan Kaidu Machet. If they were on the madrega of Adam Arishan Kaidu Machet, that means that the yitzhar had left their guf. The guf was now completely pure again. And if the guf is completely pure again, there's no two steps that I'll hear, and then I'll work on my guf till I soften it up, till it's ready to do. Nah, it doesn't work that way. As soon as I hear it, I'm ready to do. I'll hear and I'll do. So that's why it says I'll do before I'll hear, because that's the only way that they can express that doing and hear. Of course, they can't do something that they don't know. But the point is that it's bad bevad. It comes together. The malachim also can't do something they don't know. How come it says that they do it and then they hear it? The same idea, because malachim have no guf. And if they have no guf, there's no mechitza. Okay. That's all we said in Parshas Mishpatim. Now let's just say another aspect. You remember this morning?
Yeah.
Another aspect. There's a pasuk that says, "L'taiva yivakesh nifrod." That for let's just translate it like this for now. For taiva, a person needs to be separated, and the pshat is like this. Shot is that we have a bunch of people in this room right now. If we're all just focusing on our own physical life, so then our goals, our focus, our whole being together, we're very, very, very separate people. We each have our own needs, our own troubles, our own bilis. We're very, very, very separate. But if we would all be unified in one focus, unified in one goal, in one idea that we're all charged up about, all the physical differences and separations between us melt away and we become one unit.
Could it be a common physical thing?
What?
Could it be a common physical thing? I'm saying,
what do you mean?
All of us are focused on getting our food.
No. It can't be, because then your food is not going to make me full. So then it's a separate thing. Well, she tells you those reasons. So this is the klal. The klal is that the less the guf of a person is involved in gashmius, the more achdus he has with other yidden. And the more a person is involved in gashmius, the less achdus he has with other Yidden. Because in Gashmias we're all different. But in Ruchnias we all have the same Torah, the same Chiyuvim. In Ruchnias we're all, of course we all have a different role. But it's one goal. In Gashmias we have all different goals. In Gashmias, how many people are in this room? 15 people. In Gashmias is 15 goals. In Ruchnias is one goal. United with one goal. The more a person is dragged down by Gashmias, the more separation there is. In Gashmias, what I have, another big difference in Gashmias and Ruchnias, in Gashmias, what I have, you can't have. And if you have something, I can't have it. And if you share it with me, then you have some and I have some.
Can two people work together for a common material goal?
Yeah, but Saif calls Saif, what each person enjoys, the other one doesn't enjoy. If I buy a house, so then it's my house, it's not yours. And if you buy the house, then it's yours, and it's not mine. And if we both buy it together, then we each own a half a house. In Ruchnias, we can learn Torah, and you're getting the full Hanah from my Torah, and I'm getting the full Hanah from your Torah. It's a fully shared thing. Ruchnias is expandable. It's a fully shared thing. What?
Who should put in the house?
Not in the other guy's
house. You look at the half side of the cup. I mean, you can say that.
Saif calls it being involved with someone else was memayit. Rather, if you would be the only person,
you got it.
One second. Look at it very simply. If you would be the only person in the world, you'd own the whole world. If there's two people in the world, you could only own half the world. We could both own the whole world together. You could be a lamdin about it, but the bottom line is you own half the world. If there's three people, then the world has to be divided into three. If there's a billion people, it has to be divided into a billion. The more people that there are, the less Gashmias there is to go around. That's not true about Ruchnias. The more people that there are, it's not memayit the amount of Ruchnias there is to go around. That's all. What? Okay, that's not my point. That's not my point. The point is that when you see someone building a state, a hain of Gashmias, it's to the exclusion of you. But if you see someone building a Ruchnias, it's not to the exclusion of you. Think about it.
So you said these are two things? You just said two things? The difference between Gashmias and Ruchnias?
Yeah, I suspect that they're not two things, but...
And the first thing that you were saying is only applying if we're over Hashem, if we want to do good things for Hashem, but if we're doing for Olam Haba, so it's not going to be the same thing as Gashmias.
That's not true, but I don't want to explain that. Okay. So Mimela, what happened by Matan Torah? Matan Torah was Paska Zu Hamasam, the Gufim are no longer Mafsik. What does it say? Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ha'or. What does Rashi say? Yishechad V'leivechad. Completely Ba'achtas. Because there's no Gufim being Chaitit anymore. There's no Gashmias anymore. The Gashmias is also focused on Ruchnias. This is what it means that they got two Kesarim, one Keneged Nasa and one Keneged Isha. The Keser, because the Keser is like a Keser Malchus, that's the royalty of a Yid. That his guf is being a good soldier under his neshama. His neshama is in charge, and his guf is being a good soldier under his neshama, doing what it's supposed to do, not getting pulled in all other directions. Okay. Now, what happened to the crowns? Where'd they go? Where are they now? Who's wearing our crowns? Moshe Rabbeinu, but Kula Naklan Moshe, the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu has our crowns. If Moshe Rabbeinu has our crowns, what does that tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu? It tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is still on that Madrega. That even after Klal Yisrael did the Chet of the Ego, and they went back down again, and it was Vaito like an eating from the Eitz Hadas, and they fell back down again, Moshe Rabbeinu never went down from that Madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu remained from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until he was Nifter. Moshe Rabbeinu remained in this on this Madrega that his guf was not chaytus from his neshama.
He wasn't even there.
What?
He wasn't even there.
Okay, that could be why. Then why he was able to remain there. But he remained. There were others that didn't do it. Yeshua was out of the machina the whole time.
So why isn't he still on that level?
Because Klal Yisrael as a whole went down. Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu was an exception.
Could that be because he was in Shemayim?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. This is the pshat in the medrash, and I love saying over this medrash. This is the pshat in the medrash in Zayis HaBaracha. It describes Moshe Rabbeinu's p'tira. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful medrash. I think I have the words in the medrash here somewhere. Beautiful measures. But Isa Shah, at that time, when it was time for Moshe to die, Korah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'neshama mitach gufay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called his neshama to please come out of his guf. Death. Amra, imagine this. Just try to imagine this. Amra Loi, the neshama said to Rabbi Nishlam. I'm sorry. Amra Loi, he said to the neshama, Biti, my daughter, I allowed you 120 years to be in the body of Moshe. Now is your time to leave. Leave Moshe. The Neshama was commanded by the Rabbi Shem to leave.
It's funny.
What?
It's funny just that if you're on a madrigal of Kayama Eagle, then you really shouldn't die.
Oh, so listen to what happens. Amra Lefanov. What? Neshika, that's a Nishika. Neshika.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, listen to this. It's the story. Amra Lefanov. So the Neshama says to the Rabbi Neshalaylam, Rabbi Neshalaylam, Yoidas ani sha'ata aleika kol haruchais. I know that you're in charge of all the ruchais. V'chol ha'nesham nefashos nefesh ha'chayim v'ha'mesim esurim b'yadcha, and everything is in your hands. V'ata barasani, v'ata yotzartani, v'ata nosati. You hear the lekai neshama. Barasa yotzarta, v'ata nosati b'gufa shal Moshe kuf chavshana. And you put me in the guf of Moshe for 120 years. I know that. V'achshav, he said, but now. This is the Shama tells me actually. Yesh guf tahar ba'olam yaseh megufa shel Moshe. Is there a place that's more tahar? Is there a guf that's more tahar than gufa shel Moshe? Lachain ani oyhev esay. Therefore, I love him. Ve'eini roitza latzeis v'mena. I don't want to go away from it. Now, where was Hashem telling the Shama to go? To Shemayim. Mm-hmm. And the Neshama was saying, I don't want to leave. Gufay Shel Moshe. You're not going to find a place as Kaddish as Gufay Shel Moshe. This is the Gufay Shel Moshe. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu that got all the Ksarim. You realize. After Har Sinai. That's this Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Neshama. Neshama. Tzi'i, go out. Al Ta'achri, don't wait. And you know what I'll do? V'ani malo ischa l'shmei ha-shamayim ho'el yoinim. V'ani moishiv v'eich tachas kisei kavoidi. Eitzel kruvim usrofim ugedudim. I'm going to put you by the highest malachim. Okay? You're right. There's nothing as kadosh as Moshe. I'm going to put you by the highest malachim. So the neshama answers back Hashem, Rabbi Neshalaylam, malachim could do an aveira compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. As you see in Bereishis, the malachim, there's a psukim that Malachim did naveh, whatever that means. Avol ben Amra miyoyim sheniglis elav b'sneh loibole ishtay. Moshe didn't do naveh, so the guf of Gashmias.
Isn't the name Ben Amram considered derogatory in
Why not?
That's a good question.
Why is it considered
naveh? No, it's just a question of the richud from Gashmias. He was merachik himself from Gashmias to the Mandrega higher than a Malach. That's what it's not another. What? It's a Chiyuv.
Wasn't he separated after he was taken
out
Thursday night?
Wasn't
he separated after he was taken
out Thursday night? Yeah, but
he didn't
see his wife till that time.
He brought her back.
Right. That was after Thursday night. That was after Mandrega.
I think he's a mitzvah.
What's
Ben Amram?
What?
Hang on.
I understand it's a mitzvah. What does that mean? That it's
okay.
Changed?
Was it not talking with his tongue?
It's an avowal in the Gashmias. That's the What?
Wasn't the not talking with his tongue a thing in Gashmir's?
The not talking with his tongue?
Yeah, because he didn't want to talk because he had a speech impediment.
That wasn't a very
Gashmir's. Wasn't that, he should have used something that was Gashmir's in the right way.
That's not a very, that's not his getting involved with Tanu Yaakov. Right? Leave me in Moshe Rabbeinu's guf. Please leave me here. You can't find a place that's holy enough for me. Just leave me here in Moshe Rabbeinu's guf. This is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that means. V'notal nishmasei b'neshikas peh. Which, l'chayra, l'ulei d'mistapina, l'chayra, this means that he said, I'll find you a place that's even more Kaddish than Gufa Shem Moshe. And that's attached to the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself, Kaddi Yochum. That's neshika. To, like, l'davka b'ay. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu of Nasa Vinish. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu of Nasa Vinish.
Wasn't it
the
Sheikah
behind Sneaky? Yeah. But this whole Shagra Bazaria was my own something. Okay. So now we have a Kalal by Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't want to give the examples now because it gets into other sugyas. We have a Kalal by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Kalal is that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a much higher level in his own generation. But his relationship with the people of his generation was that when he was around, through the chizuk of being close to them, he was able to be ma'ala their hasagas to a higher level. We've had this a few times. That's what happened. L'machras yoyim ha-kipurim is after Klal Yisrael did tshuva, v'chet ha-egam. And it's true, it wasn't a full tshuva. It wasn't a chazor back to Kodem ha-chet. Like Ezra said before, b'chol dar we're still suffering from the Chet HaEgel. But Moshe Rabbeinu showed up after Yom Kippur, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not Stam a person. Moshe Rabbeinu is a person who's still on the Madrega of Na'aseh v'Nishma. He's still on the Madrega of Adam Kaidim Achet, and Ebesh HaChaim says. And when he shows up and he appears to people who spent the last 80 days doing tshuva for that chet, he doesn't have to gather them together ki ish echad b'lev echad. Just by being megala his madrega to them, that alone, being close to someone on that madrega, inspires them to leave the shtuyot, the silliness, the kachasdika life of gashmias, and to be niskar of the kedusha. That's the Rashi. By Yaakov Moshe, it was the day after Yom Kippur. Klal Yisrael had just did an unbelievable tshuva. Moshe didn't have to do a biyodayim. It was Lashon Hifil. Just by him showing up, it caused Klal Yisrael to congregate. Masha Enkein Mishas Zesudem Achashverish. That Klal Yisrael had not yet done tshuva. So there it wasn't possible to just, and Mordechai wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. There it wasn't possible that just by Mordechai appearing, the Yidden are just going to be Nisa'ala. The Yidden hadn't done tshuva. You don't have the L'machras Yom HaKippurim. Mordechai has to encourage them, and push them, and cajole them, and teach them tshuva, and teach them tainus, and teach them all the darkei tshuva, and bring them back together again, k'ish echad b'lev echad. And make it happen, b'yodayim, so to speak. Leich k'nois kol ha-yehudim. What's the next words? V'tzumu alai. How do you get rid of the too much involvement in the koyach ha-guf? You abandon the guf a little bit. V'tzumu, that's the hemshech. Lech k'nois kol ha-yehudim. Gather the whole Klal Yisrael back together. One second, when Klal Yisrael's too busy, but this one wants this kind of house, and this one wants this kind of house, and this one wants to eat this, and this type of food, and that type of job, you can't be mekayim k'nois kol ha-yehudim. If Klal Yisrael has one focus of Torah and Tefillah and Avodas Hashem, then you could have k'nois kol ha-yehudim. So we have to get them to abandon their gashmias a little bit. So leich knois kol ayudim v'tzumu alai al teichlu v'al tishtu. It's amazing. It could be that the pshat is that she was saying such a long fast that you might have thought for such a long fast maybe they should just not eat but they could drink. Maybe even such a long fast is just days and not nights. So she was saying, fast, no, don't eat or drink. 3 days, no, not just days, days and nights.
3 days maybe. Is not possible. They explained that then people were able to fast.
Yeah, I understand.
Just like one fast could
work. Yeah.
There's a chila and mutia that's synonymous with kedusha also. Even that you should just totally mavish yourself.
Yeah, that's a different issue about that after. I mean, it's very much negated. We'll get there.
The whole knos, is that...
At least I know one person listening to Rebaran today.
Well, I saw before Rebaran one.
Oh, shoot. Now I know that nobody was listening. Okay, Rabbi Say, there's two functions for clothing.
Whoa.
How late is it getting?
Left field or what?
There's two functions for clothing. Clothing is machasa the guf. And clothing, that's all the same thing, it's protection for the guf. It's function, it has a function. It's a keli. It's also a covet for the guf. It's a covet.
Nice quote.
Nice quote.
The Mishmah.
Parshat Tzavah, Yosisa Bigdei Kodesh La'aron Ulevonov, Lekovod Ulsefaros. Clothing are a covet. When is it appropriate for clothing to be just a function, and when is it appropriate for it to be a covet? At what point do we shtay from function to covet? When a person uses his guf properly, and it's a covet, it's to be mechavet the guf. When a person does not use his guf properly, so that's just a function. And he doesn't deserve begadim of covet. The osisa bigdei kodesh la'aron ulevonav, the whole Indian of begadim of Aaron, is to someone who's mekadesh his guf. Someone who uses his guf properly, so that's lechavoid ulseforos. It's a covet.
Does it function at the same time as the covet, or what? Is one
excluded from the other? No, not at all. One is a higher madrega than the other. Okay, I'll get back to this a little bit. I just want to point out one more thing in the Megillah. You hear this point?
Yeah, but Big Day Kohanim, that's also for function, for Kli.
It also was Machasa then.
Right, but because I thought you can't get enough of it.
No,
they did wear it though.
Adirab,
did wear it.
Right?
They did, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
it's only because otherwise
it could have been. It's not relevant,
Shal.
Hmm? Fine
with
me.
First of all, you can't say this only by being in Kuhuna. Are you able to learn out of some begotten from over there?
It's a Gemara Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon, I encourage to his malvish, money mechabdusa. My clothing that are covered.
Okay.
And see from here that that's a way to relate to clothing.
And but after the cover to hair is a big kahuna, you could say that clothing is the same thing.
No, but you see that it's possible for the gun to serve that type of function.
And also, I don't understand why if your goof is acting properly, why that means that the clothing are covered to it.
Because before the Chayit admiration, there was no clothing.
In terms of an adornment, in other words, you don't adorn something that's a bizayim, you cover it. When it becomes less of a bizayim because it's smaller kedusha, then you adorn it. That's the.
But we're saying that one and two both apply. Anyways,
what do you mean?
You said the covering part applies either way. We just want to know if it's being mechaber your guf also.
Because at this point, because the guf has potential for ra, always to be covered. But when it's being used for kedusha, so that's really to be adorned.
Why don't I say it itself is an adornment?
I'm not okay. I hear. I don't fully understand that, but I hear.
Okay.
Why do I say it itself is an adornment? When you even catch the goof,
why is that steer to what I'm saying? It's also true.
I don't know. No,
is it less lovely? We're not going to wear clothing.
I'm saying part of moderation.
But less lovely, are we going to wear clothing?
No, because I have nails, no?
Yeah,
but I'm saying,
not before. Yeah, but I'm talking about
before,
I'm talking
about after. Who knows? What? Trees are ugly, so you adorn it, which is really nice, so you don't do anything to it at all. It's fine by itself.
Are you saying the less lovely, we're not going to need clothing?
Maybe not.
No, once there's clothing, we have clothing. Adrava, they become a chelik of the tachshit ayagot.
I'm saying Maybe I'll get to that later on.
But for the meantime.
No, but because there are other people that are messianic.
So let's say by this medrash or this mindset or something, so whatever, like,
all right.